This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's that time of the day of the week. I said we'd stay on college football, but I forgot the Depot is actually next. Sorry for the bait and switch. We'll get back to it later. Right now it's time for the one, the only, the legendary.
Okay.
Davey Hudson, ladies and gentlemen. Davey, take it away.
Thank you, Nate. Fact of the day to get us rolling. During your lifetime, you will produce enough saliva to fill 50 bathtubs.
That's a weird measurement, the bathtub thing. How about gallons or...
I'll get into it. I don't know.
Like a lake.
That's just what the fact reads.
What's the average bathtub?
Bath water amounts is a personal preference. And some people, you know?
When I say fill, like, so when you fill a cup,
yeah,
you only get to a certain point
right
before it starts to overflow.
Oh, you mean like all the way fill?
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter was trying to... She wanted to take a bath the other day in like their bathroom, which, you know, I mean, they're older now. They just take showers typically. I don't think they've ever had a bath in like their bathroom. It's just like a regular old shower. And so she filled the water up so much that it was draining out of the overflow preventer, like underneath the little silver. She's like, "Dad, I got a problem. It's draining out of this." I was like, "Yeah, that's so you don't get the whole bathroom wet."
So
all the way up, like to the edge, you think that's...
Huh? You said 50 tubs?
Is this a claw foot?
Guys, like, if you will allow me to continue, I just read the first part.
The
and
average,
like, I'm not even, like, there's a whole other thing I got to get
on,
into
on
here.
The average bathtub is around 80 gallons, so that's 4,000 gallons of spit.
It's maybe self-conscious of, like, swallowing it now.
No.
What?
Oh, you said it was 80 gallons.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'll read this. Sorry.
You thought Houston couldn't multiply?
I just misheard what he said.
Okay.
I was mainly tuning him out.
You
the average
listening.
Person produces roughly 1 ounce, which would be 30 milliliters of saliva every hour.
Big day for the metric system.
That's 24.3 ounces, 720 milliliters, or one full wine bottle's worth of saliva a day, which is an average.
One full wine bottle's. Got it.
Which is an average of 69 gallons per year, or 263 liters. You should now know that 69 gallons converts to 263 liters.
Okay.
The average global life expectancy is about 72 years. This means that you produce an average of 4,968 gallons of saliva in your lifetime.
They need to update that then, because that's not accurate. They're short selling themselves by 958 gallons. Is that what you said, 4,958?
It's just because they're
remember.
Using smaller bathtubs.
75-gallon bombs.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's the metric system.
No, they'd be bigger bathtubs.
No, with it being the metric system,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably thinking Europe. In Europe, you know, like... like in America,
bathtubs.
Yeah, bigger is better. So...
Litras.
Like, just look at all the fat people.
Favorite. Color.
It is a sign of wealth.
What, a bathtub?
It used to be.
Being fat.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were meaning like a jacuzzi.
Oh, that too.
Bubbles, man.
How big was the bathtub that William Taft got stuck in?
No clue.
Anyway.
Somebody was telling me about a house when we were in
Charleston.
Yeah. And they were redoing one of the houses like down the Battery, and the riser on the steps were really short. And they were trying to figure out why they were so... I was like, this house is just so old. The people were so much shorter back then. Their legs were short, so they built the steps with short risers. So
maybe it was
a
home
Taft
for little
bathtub
people.
Was a small one. It's a mini.
You've been to the Smithsonian?
Which one?
The DC, in DC? Like all of the Smithsonian?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one with like they recreate like the island people?
Yeah.
And they're like
they're tiny.
3 feet tall?
Uh-huh. Oh. That's the one of natural history, right?
Yeah, the pygmy people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. Mm-hmm. That was a weird exhibit.
They really had to worry about being attacked by, like, giant
Komodo
snakes.
Dragons and stuff. Yeah, it was crazy.
They're so small.
It's like that. It's like they were small, so they could climb trees to get away from the big lizards. I was like, oh god, what a life! Oh, coconuts up here, nice. Build a treehouse.
So, the banger of the day, the Full House theme song. I don't know the name of it.
Every step you take.
It's everywhere you look.
Everywhere
you look. That one. Yeah. It's just a banger, dude. It gets stuck in your head, and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, that's a top five TV theme show song of all time.
Everywhere you look.
Okay.
What's number one?
I don't know. We haven't discussed that. I just know, I can just tell you right now, it's top five. It could be number one. It could be. What's a better theme?
Wait, sitcoms are all TV shows? What's come on.
Oh, gosh.
TV, yeah, we're doing TV shows.
100% for sitcom. I'm trying to think.
That
I'd probably
show.
Just say.
That's not really a I mean, that was a song, though, wasn't it?
I thought it was. I thought it was a song, and then they just added to it.
Oh.
I feel like for Full House, like, this was, like, made for the show.
I don't. Yeah, that's like Knight Rider.
Cheers.
Ah, that's a good one.
I don't know, I'm trying to think because, like, too, you also like. Well, you get into just the instrumental, and like I feel like there has to be lyrics.
Yeah.
To do it because it's like I love the Stranger Things intro. I think it's great. Game of Thrones intro, incredible as well.
Yeah, that's a really good
one.
Okay, so we say theme songs with lyrics.
According to Paste Magazine, Cheers was, in fact, number one.
Okay. Did they just do like a top five? Did they go like 10, 20?
50.
Oh, top 50.
MASH, number two.
That doesn't have lyrics, though.
Hawaii 5-0's on that list. Has to be.
We're going to have to create our own list because they don't fit the parameters.
Sanford and Son, 3. The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
That's number 4.
Wait,
yeah, we got.
Is that Simpsons?
Yeah.
Okay. Dun, 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 I get that one confused with Peanuts for some reason.
They get no lyrics. Shh.
Yeah, doesn't count.
All in the Family is number 5. The Jeffersons, Moving On Up. It's a good one.
That's what
Moving On Up.
This list has.
The Jeffersons, I think.
I don't know, Hawaii 508.
I want to feel like Sanford and Sons were on TV land. Like when I was in sixth grade and it was Sanford and Son. And it was then followed by Good Times.
Mm.
And then the Jeffersons. And then All in the Family was there. They kind of had that as like a four-pack together.
Because
like the Jeffersons were in All in the Family at times. You know how they used to do all those like crossovers between TV shows? Then they later did it as we get into the 90s and early 2000s with Everybody Loves Raymond and King of Queens.
Yes. Two really good shows, I thought. I really like King of Queens.
Fresh Prince.
I'm on the same
list you are.
Oh, you are?
I've skipped
what number was it? Gilligan's Island, 9. That's a really good one.
Fresh Prince is 11. That one hits my age. I mean, we all knew the lyrics of that.
Yeah, a lot of these. Twilight Zone.
Mission Impossible.
Adam's Family.
Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah. The Adam's Family. Classic.
Mission Impossible is good.
Mm-hmm. This tape will self-destruct. Huh? Yeah.
The Muppet Show.
Ethan Hunt, your mission is, should you choose to accept?
Laverne and Shirley. No. Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's a good one.
That's just like classic with like
so
blunders
with,
now.
So with lyrics. Yeah. What's our list with lyrics? Cheers, 1. Family, Full House, 2.
Full House hadn't even been on this list yet.
Well, that's just
Knight Rider did come in 25th.
That's a shame.
But a lot of that's just.
Dude, you guys can tweet at us.
I don't know. Thoughts.
Dukes right. of Hazzard.
Back to the Depot.
That kind of was the Duke, or I mean, that kind of was the Depot in a way. No, I'm just kidding. I got more. So for a gambling update, last night I gave the pick of Houston Moneyline. They ended up winning pretty big last night. Never in doubt. Went 2-1 overall. So we were in the green. For tonight, let's see here. My pick I'm going to give on air. The Chicago White Sox. They're going to beat. Gosh, are they playing Minnesota? I'm pretty sure they're playing Minnesota. I looked at the numbers. Numbers back it up. But again, I'm kind of upset now that basketball's over with because I was doing so well. Yeah, Chicago White Sox are hosting Minnesota tonight at 8:10. I got White Sox money line, got them -150. So that's where we're at. But I'm really just waiting for football and seeing what we can do once that starts. You know me, I'm not the biggest baseball guy, but I'll continue to.
Yeah, we know.
Just get my fix, I guess, through Major League Baseball at the moment. I don't know. The Olympics are going on, so I'll figure out something to do there. So it's kind of where we're at on a gambling update. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Did you bet on the NBA last night?
I did. I had just Milwaukee money line.
Nice.
I figured they were just going to close it out. So, but I don't put money line on action. I just for NBA, I just strictly do over under and against the spread. Mm. And I, but I did. I had Bucks money line. I figured they were closing it out. Still don't understand the whole Scott Foster thing. How they let him ref the game last night.
And it's that not like is
he's
so
done,
weird.
It's not like he's done anything wrong, but it's just the fact that it's like that statistic is so well known. It's like I think it's now 14 games that Scott Foster has reffed for Chris Paul, and like Chris Paul has never won a game.
He's 13-1 in the last 14. He's 0-11 in his last 11.
But the one win, Chris Paul didn't play, I believe.
Mm.
But it was his team. So I don't know. It's just pretty crazy anomaly. But I think they kind of announced that at the last minute, and I was kind of going to see if the line moved at all. It did. It didn't change the numbers, but as far as what I was seeing from the sites I checked, so. But still, it's just a fascinating thing. I do know that for the NHL, with the Winter Olympics when they come up, the NHL will be taking a break in 2022, so there will be an Olympic break for the NHL season. Mm. So that'll be a little bit of a pause. Also, as it relates to the NHL, tonight is the expansion draft for the Seattle Kraken, so they get to basically steal a player off of every team.
Oh yeah, like the Knights did when they got
way too good.
Way too good too
fast. It was crazy because if you look at the numbers, that their first year they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I know. And won it, right? That was against the Preds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Preds were against the Penguins.
Oh, that's right.
But
the Knights knocked the Preds out to go to the final, right?
Oh, God, I'm trying to think back. That would have been 2017.
I think that's right. I could be wrong.
I'll have to look it up. But all I know is like it was the first time ever where an expansion team like just blew them out of the water. And so the odds makers weren't really factoring in them doing well for the Knights. So they've actually went ahead and they've kind of hedged their bet for the Kraken, which I don't expect the Kraken to do near as well as Seattle did their first year. As well as Vegas did their first year. But it will be interesting just kind of watch that draft tonight and see how that goes. Vegas is excluded. They won't be having a player pulled from their team, but they also don't get to take part in the money that is generated from Seattle being added to the association.
Really?
The league, yeah.
Ever?
For the like, there's
was that their choice, or was that just like since they're the most recent expansion team, they're excluded?
Their owner made a deal that if there was another team that came in, because the goal was to get to 32 teams eventually, so Vegas made 31 to kind of throw things off of an even number. But their owner said that they won't participate in the expansion draft, but whenever that new team comes in, they don't get a cut from the money from the owner coming into the league.
Hmm.
So I think it comes out to like $36 million or something like that, that Vegas is not going to be getting, that all the other organizations will. But they still got a really good team, and so
yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious to see which Pred is taken. If I had to guess, I think it'll be Mateus Ekholm. I'd like for him to say him or Colton Sissons, but who knows. So I know kind of we've already gone long and not been able to get into much, but I do have...
No, you're good, man. Take your time.
I have one story at least that I wanted to get into today. Two headlines I'll read real quickly, then get into that. The Australian city of Brisbane is to host the 2032 Summer Olympics. So we got that.
Do you not remember me saying that earlier in the show?
You said that during the breaks.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the breaks? Show. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Do you listen to the In the Breaks podcast?
I say a lot of things I forget when I say them.
Pfizer has recalled the anti-smoking drug Chantix due to cancer-causing chemical. So just taking that, be on the wear out.
Chantix. What the bleep is Chantix?
Gosh.
Wasn't that Ray Liotta?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Chantix.
That was Ray.
Chantix.
So,
stop smoking. It causes cancer. Here's a pill to help you. It'll also cause cancer. Enjoy. Pfizer. Good year for Pfizer. Sorry, Dave. Continue.
No, you're good, buddy. So I thought this headline from Fox was pretty interesting. It was 4 days ago, but Nevada woman breaks into dentist's office. What do you think she does when she breaks in there?
Cleans her own teeth.
No, she Novocaine.
Pulls 13 teeth from an unconscious patient.
Oh, oh my God.
What? Why? Yep. How? How's there an unconscious patient just sitting around with no one watching?
With time to pull 13 teeth.
Did she pretend to be like a worker and like no one just noticed?
Well, she, Laurel Eich, I think it's E-I-C-H, so however you want to pronounce
Eich is fine.
Claims she had formerly worked there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, a Nevada woman broke into a dentist's office, stole money, and pulled 13 teeth from an unconscious patient on two separate occasions, according to the Washoe County Police.
Wait, wait, wait. So 13, so 26 total?
What are you doing with the teeth?
Tooth fairy. Making some money.
This is a down economy. deputies allege that Laurel Eich, who is not a dentist, broke into a dental office where she claimed she had formerly worked. Eich allegedly stole $22,861 in cash and checks during the May 3rd break-in.
Why is there cash at a dentist? Is that a thing?
No.
Well, it says in cash and checks. So, okay. I mean, there might have been a safe there that they just kind of kept. Meanwhile, the tooth extraction occurred on a different date than the break-in. Just kind of confused. Like,
she loves this place.
So, Eich told detectives she also admitted to using anesthetic. Okay, I was getting that right. Disposed of by the office. So I guess they had thrown it out, or they weren't going to use it.
Yeah, they threw out the knockout juice.
Yeah, and then so then she ended up taking that. This woman who was 42 was arrested Wednesday and charged with two counts of burglary and one count each of grand larceny, conspiracy to commit burglary, and perform surgery on another without a medical license. Investigators did not say how they determined Eich to be a person of interest in the case, but they said that she admitted to multiple people, including deputies, that she had performed the medical procedure. She's a resident of Reno and allegedly performed the extractions on her own time. I don't know how that happened. She remains in custody in the Washoe County Jail on a $20,000 bond. That's all we have right now, but that I want to know. And like, I mean, the first comment just says there's so many questions here. How does a person break in without being noticed and then remove 13 teeth without anyone also noticing that? Did the dentist and staff just up and leave for a long time and just leave an unconscious person lying there unsupervised? That's what I'm thinking. It's like they took the break, but they had an unconscious patient there and just left them.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Well, maybe they were already done with whatever they were doing. Like maybe the person had a root canal. They're just waiting on them to wake up. They know that's going to take another 30 minutes. Let's go back out and have a smoke. And then a girl sneaks in, pulls the teeth.
So I was younger, but I had a root canal before, and they didn't put me under completely for that.
Well, I'm not saying it had to be a root canal. It could have been wisdom teeth or something.
That's just so weird. I don't know. I would love to get more on this. That was a Fox article. They said the Daily Mail originally reported it, but I don't know. I mean, this woman, like, obviously, if I'm just judging, I'm like, yeah, she's up to no good just looking at her. But
safe to say.
I don't know. That's just weird. So, yeah, if you're ever missing any teeth, just know people are out there. She apparently impersonated a dentist.
Lovely.
I don't know. There's more questions than answers after this story. So I'll try to do more digging, but man, bad day for those people. Ugh, that's a rough photo. Based off time constraints, that's all I have. I thought this was solid.
You don't have another one?
You got
one more. Come on. Let's get one more.
Let's see. Which one do I want to go with here? There's one I've kind of been holding on to for a while that I think would be interesting to get into. Let's see here. A Wyoming rancher, according to the AP, who was pinned by an all-terrain vehicle, survived on beer and bottled water for 2 days. Frank Reynolds is expected to recover from the ordeal. You guys, I can tell Adam knows who Frank Reynolds is, but it doesn't sound like you guys know who Frank Reynolds is. Frank Reynolds is the name of the character played by Danny DeVito on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. This rancher just happened to have the same name. That's why it kind of went.
So he flipped his four-wheeler, got trapped under it, and just drank beer?
It's pretty much how he survived. Yeah.
I drink beer.
Survived on beer
like
and
beer.
Bottled water for 2 days.
I still like beer.
Frank Reynolds, 53, was trying to round up a cow and calf on a neighbor's pasture outside Gillette when the vehicle tipped over on him Sunday. Well, this is a couple Sundays ago now. He says, it was scary as hell, is what it was. Family thought Reynolds
scary
had gone.
Scary as hell.
Family
is what
thought Reynolds had gone camping or was with friends.
He's trying to move forward.
Later Monday, they begin to worry. Eventually, they learn that Frank Reynolds had planned to do some work on the property where he was laying with a dislocated shoulder and broken ribs. The search began. Reynolds, meanwhile, honked the ATV's horn so much he wore down the battery to no avail. Whew, that would suck.
That'd be a scary thing.
He was able to ration a couple of bottles of beer and Keystone Light from a cooler.
Keystone Light?
Yeah. Searching on horseback.
So he really just had a bunch of water.
I mean, it's alcohol. Like, it's not...
Kind of. Anyway, go ahead.
What's the rule on that? Like, obviously, you're going to get thirsty, but, like, are you better off if you're trying to survive just not drinking the beer?
Honestly, if you could...
It depends. I mean, you need some calories. It's got calories in it.
I mean, a lot of times, people that, like, if you look at, like drunk accidents, like people, they don't get as hurt if they're drunk sometimes.
Maybe he should have been drinking because your body's more relaxed.
Yeah,
you're not tensed up.
Maybe him being, maybe if he got relaxed. I don't know. Maybe he could have just broken a limb or something and slithered out from underneath it.
Slithered.
He was expected to remain in the hospital for a couple of days and eventually recover, but he did say everything on the left side pretty much hurt from the top of my head to my toes. My old roommate actually had to get airlifted out of gosh, which mountains were he? I don't think he was technically in. He was in Cumberland County, but he flipped his ATV, broke his back, and they had to airlift him out. That was a very long recovery time.
I'd imagine so.
Wow. Yeah, he's lucky he didn't, like, I mean, that was one of the things, like, when he ended up trying to go over a log, and whenever he did that, his ATV ended up tipping back, and so it pretty much just crushed him right there. But he was able to get out from under his ATV and crawl to, like, a trail where someone eventually found him.
Mm-hmm.
But he pretty much realized, like, if I don't crawl and get out, like, I'm going to die here.
No one's going to find me.
Yep. Yep. So, but he's recovered, got some metal rods in the back, and doing A-OK.
Good to hear.
I learned in
the depot
in Charleston that when they would take the pirates out to hang them, they would hang them in the marsh sometimes where the water
put the body in the marsh
would come up and down, and so when they would like start to hang, sometimes the water would be there enough to where they like wouldn't die immediately. So as the tide went out, then they would just like, you know, asphyxiate.
Sheesh.
But a lot of times the people, when they'd hang them out there, they'd go out and they'd steal all their clothes. Well, then they would cut off all their hair because they could sell that to the wig makers, and then they would pull their teeth because they'd use them to make denture sets and stuff.
While they were still alive?
Sometimes. Sometimes right after they died.
Crime doesn't pay, folks.
Fun.
Just reminded me of
don't
your
13 be tooth a pirate.
Stealer.
Goodness
theft.
Gracious.
Mm-hmm. Not good. Also, big news from the In the Breaks podcast. You can bet on FanDuel on specific swimming events in the Olympics.
Just swimming?
Oh, wow.
Lots of stuff. Like, they got the 100-meter. I was just looking at the features so far. I hadn't even dug into, like,
There's something if you bet up to $100. Well, that might have actually been before the event started. But if you put $100 down, you get, like, $5 back for every time the U.S. wins a medal or something like that.
I haven't even, I haven't even dug into all the track and field, but it looks like they've got all the finals for... Like, I'm in men's swimming right now, and you got, like, just tons of events you can bet the winner on, so that'll be fun. Definitely make those races more interesting.
Happen to predictability, the milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. You miss your old familiar friends, but waiting just around the bend.
Welcome back. Hour 3 continues live from Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. I guess we promised the listeners more college football after the depot.
I have a question.
Yeah?
This was presented by a listener, but Nick asked the question. We've made the comparison before between Lane Kiffin, Hugh Freeze, what they're able to produce on the offensive side of the ball. He wants to know, will we get the same offensive production and quarterback development that Freeze and Kiffin brought to Ole Miss / Bama from Josh Heupel? Is Heupel on their level as an offensive mind? So obviously that kind of takes a step away from just the talking about being a head coach. But if you're just looking for what they're able to at least do schematically, think about as it relates to just being solely focused on the offense, would you put Josh Heupel on the level that we have seen with Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze?
I don't know
probably.
I don't know how to grade that. Definitely in the past, and even this year. I guess.
I mean, he took Missouri from, I think they were dead last in the conference in total offense, and then they led 2 years in a row. His 2 years, they were the first in total offense in the conference. Drew Locke went from throwing, let's see here. As a sophomore, Drew Locke threw for 3,399 yards, 23 touchdowns, 10 picks. That was on 237 attempts. The next year, five more attempts, 39,064 yards, so almost 600 more yards. Touchdowns went from 23 to 44. He threw 13 picks. And then as a senior, right, wasn't he, was it 16-17 or 17-18?
I don't remember the year.
It was 16-17. Okay, so my bad. I mean, those were his two. He was pretty good as a senior, though. But he went from four touchdowns and eight picks to 23 touchdowns, 10 picks, and then 44 touchdowns and 13 interceptions in 2017. And like I said, their offense went from junk in the conference to first. I mean, wasn't he fired at Oklahoma because Stoops wanted him to run the ball more and he was like, they were scoring too much or too fast?
I mean, their offensive production just was way down compared to what it had been. I don't know.
I don't think that's right.
Oklahoma. Well, okay, here's what I did do. I looked at the last year, and then I looked at what happened once Lincoln Riley came in, and Lincoln just took it to an absolutely different level.
Like, but those weren't, they weren't one after the other, though, were
yes,
they?
Yes, they were. Josh Heupel got fired, and then they brought in Lincoln Riley.
So we got a poor man's Lincoln Riley.
Well, hopefully you got a guy that kind of tweaked his offense and learned more how to handle quarterbacks from then to now.
I'd say he has.
Best case. Because we went to Missouri. I mean, they were obviously better.
That's been a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years ago when he started there. Or actually, that's just when he started being the coordinator there. He's quarterbacks.
I mean, his first year.
Sam Bradford, right?
Is that 11? I mean, they averaged 39.5 a game, 38.2, 32.8 in 2013, up to 36.2 in 2014.
You forgive me if you already said this.
I swear that's what happened. Like, after 2012, if I'm not mistaken, like, the argument was Stoops said we got to run the ball more because they went from 349 a game, 336, and then his last 2 years, 199 and 203 passing, but the rushing yards went up by, like, 50. 100 over 2 years. But they just couldn't find, like, the balance. Maybe they didn't have a good quarterback those last 2 years. I can't remember who was the quarterback for Oklahoma in 13 and 14. But I remember reading some articles that was a big deal. Like, Stoops wanted him to run the ball more to save the defense because Stoops obviously a defensive guy, and then the numbers went down and the defense didn't get much better because offenses were obviously improving. Because, I mean, that's been Oklahoma's problem forever. They haven't had a good defense. I don't know. It's
– all right, so
– I mean, he did it at Missouri, but he's only there 2 years. I mean
– what was Heupel's last year at Oklahoma?
2014.
So the 14-15 season?
Yeah, I guess. They were 24th nationally in total offense.
So in 2014, they averaged 36.4 points a game.
Okay, I got it at 36.2, so maybe they didn't account for the bowl game.
Okay, so 36.4. The year before that, they were at 32.8, so he would have went up. So then in 2015-16, they ended up going from, did I just say 36?
Yeah, 2014 was 30. You said 36.
Okay, so Lincoln got them from that to up to 43.5.
In 15?
Yeah.
What about 16?
He would have been, they ended up going from, they ended up being number two in the country at that point. So he made them go from Lincoln's first year, they were fourth in points per game. Then he moved them up to second. They were 43.9. The team that finished first was that Western Kentucky team that had 45.2 points a game. So then, I mean, then they went up again in Lincoln's year three.
To what?
45.1.
Pretty good.
What year was Heupel at UCF? His first year would have been
18-19-20. So 43-2, 43-4, and 42-2 in his
first year. So Scott Frost last year, Central Florida was number one in the country with 46.2 points. Memphis was second, and then Oklahoma.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know the bar set so high, but then the next year, so when Heupel came in, they went down from 46 to 43.7.
So a field goal less.
And Lincoln Riley, man, he had Oklahoma as the number one offense with 48.4 points a game.
I mean, yeah, obviously, like, we know Lincoln Riley's good. But, I mean, at Central Florida, they were fifth nationally in total offense, second, and second again. Like, I mean, I think it's safe to say Heupel can coach some offense. I mean, he did. Like I said, he took Missouri from last to first in a single season, and they held it for 2 years, and I think they dropped to like eighth the year he left. Now, so if we're saying offensive mind, probably, but you have to counter that as the head coach with a defense that can, you know. And it's that's the balance. Like, that's where Oklahoma gets in trouble. They score a lot of points, and then those one or two games a year, they give up a bunch too. And somehow it's always Kansas State, which I'll never quite understand, but. Who beat him last year? Was it Kansas State and Iowa State?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy.
It was Trevor Knight was the quarterback at Oklahoma. Heupel's last year there. Trevor.
He wasn't very good.
He went to A&M and
he was okay. He beat us.
Blake Bell and Trevor Knight.
The Belldozer.
Okay, well, he was
before.
I think Blake Bell might be like the best recruit that Oklahoma ever had. No, Adrian Peterson would be one, and then like Blake Bell was second.
But Blake Bell he even started quarterback ever. They just brought him in.
He was a giant
bust. Yeah, they brought him in for short yardage stuff. No, Belldozer, like he just go in and run the Wildcat.
I think Trevor and I actually played most of that season too. So it's
what was the year Oklahoma with Trevor Knight beat Alabama in like the Sugar Bowl?
That was that 2013.
That was 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So Heupel beat Alabama as an OC.
Mm-hmm. In the Sugar Bowl.
I like that. It's pretty good. Makes me think the offense can work against SEC defenses if you get the right talent.
Yeah, it's weird.
Obviously, it was good at Missouri. It was a little. It wasn't as good against the top end, but I mean, if you can recruit some talent to compete, I think the offense works.
Blake Bell's not who I was thinking of. I was thinking of Rhett Bomar. He was.
He was the one. I think he got busted working at a car dealership for like an hour a week, and they were giving him like $45,000 or something like that. Do you remember that?
That's before my time.
Rhett Bomar. We were in on that.
He was class of 2004, so I was like 10.
Yeah, Bell was a guy that just couldn't really throw the ball very well.
Right.
I don't know where I would rank Heupel with Freeze and Kiffin on just the quarterback question. I mean, we'll find out. Like, it. I mean, who's better with quarterbacks? I think Kiffin's better with offenses than Hugh Freeze, but I think Hugh Freeze may be just as good with quarterbacks, just the quarterback position, as Lane Kiffin. It's crazy. I mean, Hugh Freeze seems to just take anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. If you're having to do that, you could separate it between quarterback and then just offense as a whole. I would definitely give Hugh Freeze the number one ranking as far as work with quarterbacks, because I feel like Kiffin's had some like better prospects.
Yeah,
and Hugh has just taken some guys that like everyone's just wrote off. And it's
did he recruit Coral?
Probably. No, that would have been Matt Luke.
He's been a long time.
I know. That's what I was saying.
Wait, what are you saying? Oh, did Hugh recruit?
Because he has been there forever, seems like.
Coral?
Yeah.
I think he's a junior now.
Well, how long has Hugh Freeze been gone?
Several years, because Matt Luke had like a 3-year stint there.
I know. I was just wondering who, like,
no, I don't know. Inked,
like, is he a redshirt junior or something? It doesn't really matter.
Redshirt sophomore.
Okay, so probably not then. In the past 5 years, Heupel's offenses, this is working backwards, second, fifth, eighth, 13th nationally in total offense. So that's 5 years all inside the top 15. I'm going to say that's pretty good.
I can kind of write it off if he just had UCF offenses like that, okay, fine. But the fact that at Missouri, a team with not as much talent as the big boys, they were still able to score a lot of points, and maybe not against the top couple of teams in the league, but really for this year, Tennessee just needs to beat the Missouris and the Kentuckys and Vanderbilt and South Carolina and compete with Ole Miss.
So do you think we get like a year 3 Dooley type season?
I see what you're saying.
Offensively, like they were really good.
I thought
good,
you meant like he gets fired. And I'm like, no, I don't know. Just mean an offense that lights it up, but the defense can't stop it.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I think you will. I don't know. I think the offense could light people up in all the games. You know, Ole Miss even lit up Alabama last year to some degree. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll see that. Like Georgia, Alabama, this offense, it probably doesn't have. I feel like Ole Miss have. I don't know though. I mean, Ole Miss, from a recruiting ranking standpoint, they didn't. But it seems like the way Kiffin used his guys, you found some guys that could really play on that Ole Miss offense. It'd be interesting to see if we. I mean, we feel like we have that in like Jalen Hyatt, and we feel like we have some quarterbacks with some pedigree. So hopefully, you know, there'll be 3 or 4 guys that kind of become stat. You know, monsters, but I don't.
You got to think, especially there's going to be guys emerge where you're just like, whoa, where? I mean,
you may not do it against Alabama, Georgia, maybe not Florida, but you know, when you play a team like Ole Miss, even if you lose the game, I'd expect us to be able to score.
Yeah, me too.
If you play a team like Missouri, I'd expect us to be able to score. Mm-hmm. Kentucky, I mean,
that's the question for Ole Miss this year: is does their defense take a step up? And like, that's kind of what they're having to focus on. We know their offense, they do return a good amount of production. Obviously, they lost Elijah Moore.
Yeah, they lost their best receiver. They still got that, was it Jerrion Ealy, the running back? He's good. Obviously, they have Corral. He's a stud when he's on.
Does Lane usually get the opportunity to work with a quarterback for 2 years in a row? Or do you think, I'm just trying to think back of like if he's primarily had guys that like, they were on there last year whenever they ended up getting the start.
I think he did at Southern Cal. I mean, how long was he even at Alabama? He was at 2 years? I think he had 2 different quarterbacks.
He cost him a championship.
Well, Nick Saban cost him a championship by firing him the week before because he was, you know, doing his other job too.
Yeah, Matt Luke and Phil Longo recruited Matt Corral to Ole Miss.
We will see. All I know is we're going to hang a 50 burger on Bowling Green. Matt's going to owe me dinner.
We should.
What'd you say the over-under for that one was? 62.5, Dave?
Yeah.
We might have that by halftime, man.
Win bet.
That's it. I have to go put a bet on that right now. Final segment.
You
got to
put it over? Oh, already? Yeah, bet the over. Right. SEC Survivor.
Lines.
What's Tennessee's favored by what now over Bowling Green? I know the lines changed a bunch. It opened at like 28. It's up to 33.
33 is what I saw last. I can check. I'll check DK and FanDuel.
I don't know how we haven't looked this up before, but Pittsburgh opens their season hosting the Massachusetts Minutemen, UMass.
So we
Walt Bell.
So like, we both play one of the 2 worst teams in all of FBS.
Correct. The predicted score on Odd Shark is 36-0.
They've already got the odd shark score out?
Mm-hmm. The line's 37.5. So I was hoping Pittsburgh had like a, you know, it's a decently difficult first game, but mm-hmm. not so much.
33 right now on DraftKings.
33? Okay.
I don't know if Fandle has it. Fandle had the Florida line. The Tennessee Florida line, that is.
Ugh. It's 33 on Odd Shark. Do you want to know the predicted score?
Ooh, let me guess. At 33. I think that they'll have Tennessee by 28.
Anyone else want to guess?
Tennessee by 21.
What is this? What am I picking?
The Odd Shark predicted score for their Tennessee Bowling Green.
Yeah, their computer model.
Oh. Well, the line's 32.5 on FanDuel.
It's 33 on Odd Shark.
That's the line?
Mm-hmm.
But he's wanted, like, they already have their predicted score out.
I'll say they got Tennessee by 27.
Final score,
mm-hmm.
Tennessee 27, Bowling Green 12.
Yikes.
How would you feel about 27-12, Hickman?
I like it better than what I said in the break.
So they're definitely of the mindset to hammer the under as of right now.
Correct.
I would say that's smart, though, to take the under.
But I think they're using last year's offensive numbers. Like, this is all analytic. Like, it's all just numbers-based versus numbers-based.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't have anything updated. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So
I've looked in their stuff in the past.
You can get Tennessee.
We don't have 27 by the half. I'm out of there.
You can get Tennessee plus 3,000 to win the East.
You going to put a 10 note on the big orange? Yeah. I mean, is it that crazy to think? Like, if JT Daniels gets hurt, like, is Georgia just toast?
I mean, Florida's plus 500. That's pretty good value.
It's not bad.
I mean, do you think anybody else is going to win it outside those two teams? Georgia's minus 450. Like, there's no value there. I mean, there's definitely more.
No, I mean, if JT Daniels stays healthy, Georgia will win it.
I guess the
Florida
schedule,
Florida hosts Alabama. Like, they're probably not going to win that one. It's kind of, I don't want to say guaranteed loss, but it's a pretty much assumed loss there for Florida. I'll be very interested to see what Dan Mullen does at quarterback this year. Like, you feel good if you're Georgia as long as JT Daniels stays healthy, but is he not coming off of an ACL? I mean, I know he played pretty well last year, but, if he were to get hurt again, I don't know where they'd turn.
I'm just looking at these scores on Odd Shark. They got the Temple-Rutgers game. Granted, this is essentially just a – Rutgers is a 13.5-point favorite, but they have Temple 22.4, Rutgers 22.3.
Let's go Owls. Poor Comas would be in a tizzy. I would just hate to see that, though. I'd hate to see Greg Schiano.
UCF opens against Boise State.
Where's that game?
UCF's listed as a home team, so I would assume it's in Orlando. I don't think they're going to do a neutral site for that one.
Why not? Seems like a pretty good neutral site game.
That would be a pretty good one. UCF and Boise State live from upstate New York.
On FanDuel, you might already say this, but Pitt is a 37.5-point favorite over
UMass. I did say that.
Bigger than Bowling Green. UMass is worse than one of the few teams worse than Bowling Green?
That or
I mean, like,
they're right there, yeah.
I usually see them at, like, 1/30th of, like, they're usually 125 through 130 out of 130 FBS programs.
Yep, UCF is hosting Boise State.
All right.
UCF favored by 4. Are we going to be keeping tabs on UCF this year? We have so many schools we have to keep tabs on. Like, we have to keep tabs on Kiffin.
Yeah.
Got to keep tabs on
Liberty,
Chadwell,
Shiano,
Freeze,
Coastal.
Shiano. Now we got to keep tabs on UCF and the Gus Bus.
Man, great year.
Arkansas State, right? We got to keep the Giants. We'll see what Pruitt's doing.
Georgia State's got to.
Where's old Duels these days? Is he up? Is he up in New York or somewhere? Isn't he?
He's with the Giants.
Is it the Giants? Is it Dooley and Pruitt? Oh, man, they're just going to crush it.
He's probably somewhere else now. Double check on that.
Mm-hmm. I'll find it real quick. Football coach.
He is tight ends coach for the Giants. I was right.
That's right. Wow.
So they get
there you go.
Pruitt and Dooley.
Evan Engram? Is he still with the Giants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
You can't stay healthy.
I know. I know. And he was, I think they rated him as like a top five tight end.
Oh, no, he's legit when he's healthy.
No, I know. I agree. I'm just surprised because he's never healthy. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, college football starts August 28th this year.
What is that?
Wait, so Dooley was the AD at Louisiana Tech when he was there as
yep,
well?
Yep, he was coach AD.
What, 5 weeks, realize right? that. From Saturday.
Wow.
I guess.
Born on third, thought he hit a triple.
UTEP and New Mexico State. That'll be glued.
Is that the opener?
I don't know. These are just
call me crazy, but some of those games like that are far more entertaining than watching two Power 5 teams go at it.
Mm-hmm. UConn, Fresno State, Southern Utah, San Jose State.
I'm just happy to have fans back in the stands.
Yeah, all that Odd Shark stuff's just using last year's data.
Yeah, that's why I saw 27. I was like, ain't no way.
Here's the big one for the 28th. 1 o'clock, Nebraska and Illinois. Live from Memorial Stadium in Champaign, 1 o'clock on Fox.
Big noon.
Then you got 3:30. Hawaii travels to UCLA on ESPN.
Okay.
3:30.
That could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats to Josh Heupel. Great job yesterday.
Yep.
Shouts out.
The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.